A good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can subscribe and listen to the show via our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@TheNickCraigShow, where you can watch it live weekday mornings, or of course, catch the show after the fact. We've got a busy show coming up for you this Thursday morning, and we start with an update on a story we brought to you yesterday morning, some breaking news out of Wilmington, as there was a large SWAT presence as we were on the air yesterday morning. We didn't have any additional details when we signed off around 8 o'clock, but we do have details this morning over at WECT News. 4 suspects in custody following this shooting. The details are as follows. 2 adults and 2 juveniles are in custody after the late night shooting on Tuesday night led to that SWAT response in Wilmington. According to WPD, they say that just after 10:50 p.m. Tuesday night, units were on patrol in the area of 17th and Wellington Streets in downtown Wilmington when gunshots rang out. The WPD statement reads as follows, and it says, quote, officers immediately responded and found evidence that a shooting had occurred. 7 firearms were located in the 2400 block of Troy Drive. The Cape Fear Regional Specialist Team SWAT and WPD Gun Crimes Task Force executed a search warrant at a nearby residence where additional firearms were located. SWAT units blocked off Buckingham Avenue and Troy Drive in the New Hanover Village area as they were on the scene early yesterday morning communicating over a loudspeaker to the individuals. Law enforcement did clear the scene around 4:15 a.m. and Wrightsville Beach Police and Leland Police Department also assisted. WPD says that 4 people were taken into custody, 2 of them juveniles. Officers arrested 20-year-old Jaquan Robinson and 19-year-old Cornelius Allen. Those are the individuals over the age of 18. We don't know the identities or the ages of the juveniles. We may or may not find that out in the future. And those suspects have been charged with discharging a firearm in the city limits and discharging a firearm into an occupied dwelling. However, WPD says more charges to come, depending on who they were shooting at. Some potential attempted murder charges, attempted assault. We'll just have to wait and see what those charges look like. And this shooting, as WPD notes, remains under investigation as of this morning. So that is an update on a story we brought to you yesterday. When we find out any additional details about these individuals, including the minors and some additional charges, we'll pass it along to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. Oh boy. The Trump administration is on an absolute tear. And I mean that in the best possible way. Things are happening, and I've mentioned this in the past, so excuse me for repeating myself, but things are happening so rapidly at the White House and within this administration that it is a real issue for Democrats to try and deal with. There is no time, because the ball is moving so frequently, there is no opportunity for them to lock onto a target and, of course, attack Trump, attack Elon Musk and the administration. And they're doing their damnedest to do it. They're trying their best with their rallies and speeches outside this place or that place, yelling and screaming about how we didn't elect Elon, so on and so forth. And yesterday, this kind of came to a head as protesters from across the nation used yesterday, February the 5th, to protest the Trump administration. And we saw this. This was a look at downtown Raleigh yesterday as groups of individuals holding signs that say Save Democracy, FDT. That, of course, is a derogatory term meaning F Donald Trump. You know, real, real brave work here. Many of these individuals, of course, in masks, going back to the Antifa situation of 2020, as they just aimlessly wandered around downtown Raleigh and in many other major cities, demonstrating the Trump administration. And I put a post on X surrounding this because I want to read it to you because I thought it did a really good job at kind of summarizing what's going on here, what we're seeing. And my post read as follows. Imagine being so out of touch with reality that you're wandering around Raleigh on a Wednesday afternoon loudly griping about the president to anyone that will listen. And I think that's exactly, it perfectly summarizes what's going on here. You've got these groups of individuals, of course, all progressive leftists, that lost in November, were incapable of convincing the American public, the American voter, that they had the best ideas, that they had the best solutions going forward. They were unable to do that. And the American people said, nay, nay, we're going to do something completely different. We're going to vote for Trump. We're going to support Republicans in the House. We're going to support Republicans in the Senate. And the left continues to be incredibly out of touch with the American people. And these protests and these rallies that happened all throughout the United States yesterday, including in our state capitol, prove it in a shocking manner. This reign, this regime is over. You guys don't have the policy platform, the ideas, or anything that is resonating with the American public, yet they continue to double down. I can't imagine how you believe walking around downtown Raleigh with a sign that says, no Felon, no Elon, stand up against Trump or step down. Stop Trump. Stop the coup. Stop the steal. Elon has to go. All of these stupid signs and stupid chants. How you think this is resonating with the public? And to just touch on Elon Musk for a second, you know, we didn't elect Elon. I'm looking at a picture over at the News and Observer, some liberal woman that has a sign that says, bad Doge. What, you think it's bad to get government accountability under control? You think it's bad that we're having to make serious sacrifices and have to make serious decisions about the future economic feasibility of our country? I mean, again, how out of touch do you have to be with the American populace? And I guess the answer to the question is incredibly out of touch. There's no other way to describe it. Because if these people truly understood what was going on in the brains of the vast majority of Americans, they wouldn't be doing this stuff. They wouldn't be spending their Wednesday afternoon walking around downtown Raleigh with a couple of signs talking about how much they hate Orange Man. I mean, it's absurd. And to go back to Elon, we didn't elect Elon. There was plenty of signs that said that yesterday. I saw a bunch of pictures on social media. I actually completely disagree with that statement. Elon Musk was an integral part of the Trump campaign for months before the election. People knew exactly what they were getting with Trump, knew exactly what they were getting with Elon. He didn't just magically appear on November the 6th and say, hey, I'm with Trump and I'm going to do all these things. That was well described. Elon rallied with Trump multiple times before the election. He was all over the place with it, talking about the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, talking about getting United States spending and federal spending under control. Turns out the vast majority of the American populace thinks that we have a spending problem. They think that the government is out of control. They think that prices are too high and the federal government is a large part of that. But Democrats don't. You know, they'll try and gaslight you over the price of avocados and Corona beer because Trump's talking about tariffs with Mexico. They'll gaslight you that they care about that. But then at the same time, they don't like the Department of Government Efficiency. So on one hand, they're concerned about pricing because Trump's talking about tariffs with China and Mexico and Canada and China. So they care about the pricing there, but they don't care about pricing or costs when it comes to out-of-control government programs. Am I understanding that correctly? And I am. Because now their little pet projects, their little programs, are being completely blown out of the water. Doge and the administration has set their sights very clearly on USAID, USAID. We've talked a lot about that this week. And it turns out that this is one of the most corrupt organizations within the federal government. More than anybody could have possibly ever imagined. And the details that we have learned out of USAID, the information that has come to light over the last couple of days, is astonishing. And we'll have some of that coming up for you this morning. It is completely unbelievable in regards to the amount of money that was being completely pissed away and continues to be by the federal government. We all knew it was bad. We all know that federal spending and government spending is out of control. But I don't think we really knew how bad. I'm not even sure Trump knew how bad it was until he started, until Elon and Trump and some of the other folks associated with Doge really started digging into the issues at hand. So they really started narrowing in on these issues. We didn't know about it. And it's obvious because these things had gone on for years past, including in the previous administration. And I've seen some very interesting postings on social media that indicate that the left, not your traditional liberals, not your idiots walking around the streets of Raleigh yesterday, but the people in the higher echelons of these scams that are run and operated by the left are in a complete and total panic mode. They are in a free fall now that USAID has been essentially gutted and will continue to be gutted, and all of their pet projects are losing funding. From the reports that I've read and some tweets of individuals that have talked to individuals, they are indicating that these people are losing their minds because the spigot is being turned off. The free money, and of course I say free with tongue in cheek because it's our taxpayer dollars, but the free money that these individuals have been receiving forever now is under serious scrutiny, is under serious assault. And now the left is trying to figure out how do they move forward, right? Because once you cut off the funding source for these operations, then it all starts crumbling and falling apart. Once you cut off the money, the income stream makes it a lot harder for these groups to pay individuals to do their dirty work. It makes it a lot harder for these institutions to actually survive in a free market economy, right? Because their ideas and the things that they support and the things that they push are not wildly popular. And so they've received funding through groups like USAID for so much time now because they can't raise the money in the free market, or they can't generate the revenue in the free market. So they have to be subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer. And there's just no place for that. I'm sorry. There's no place for it. There never was a place for it. There never should have been a place for it. But I've always said this about the left. They are masters at gaming the system. We'll talk about this as we get into the budget session in local government later on in the year over the next couple of months. But you'll look at all of the grants that counties and cities hand out, all of the various tens of, if not hundreds, if not millions of dollars that are doled out to nonprofits and all of these organizations, all of these groups almost exclusively have a very strong left-leaning bias. Because they have done a masterful job, that being the left, has done a masterful job at figuring out how to generate free money from the government, whether it be federal, state, or local. They've absolutely mastered the craft. That's why all of these nonprofits, all of these groups that get money that are not government agencies in any way, shape, or form, they are, of course, on their back foot this morning because their income stream, their big funding is being cut. They're looking down the barrel of nothing with some of these cuts. And of course, that's a serious threat because once you go into the free market and have to actually generate revenue, well, things become a little bit more complicated. We talked about it earlier this week with NPR and PBS. There's plenty of TV and radio stations, thousands of them across the country, tens of thousands of them across the country, that generate revenue from advertising. They are for-profit businesses. There is a business model that works. But NPR and PBS, they don't have to worry about that because they get free taxpayer dollars. So to all of these groups, I'd say, well, handle it the same way anybody else does. Provide value. Gain an audience, in the case of media, radio, or TV. Gain an audience and sell advertising. Or find some other way to fund the platform. It's really not that complicated. But see, it's easy just to get a constant income stream from the federal government. And now all of that is up in the air. A lot of that is being called out, and these groups have nowhere to go. They're in a complete and total free fall. And we learned some pretty shocking news yesterday about one of these media outlets, one of these media organizations, and USAID. We learned that Politico is receiving millions upon millions of dollars from the U.S. taxpayer. It's pretty shocking. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a few minutes. I want to tell you about a new group that we've got on board here on the Nick Craig Show, Ground News. We're staying up to date with events around the world that can be incredibly difficult. It's really hard to go to one website, one source, and get the full story on everything that's going on. And that's why each and every morning I use Ground.News. Ground News is an app and website that combines news from around the world in one place so that you can compare coverage. For every news source, you can see if they have a political bias, how reliable their reporting is, and who owns them. They have a blind spot feature that highlights news disproportionately covered by one side of the political spectrum, and you can get news from thousands of sources worldwide in one place and verify your information. Again, I use Ground.News every day to prep for the Nick Craig Show, and I've got a special offer for you this morning. Subscribe through my link to get 40% off the Vantage subscription plan. It's the one that I use, and it gives you unlimited access to every feature. Visit nickcraig.com/ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. That's nickcraig.com/ground to get 40% off and learn more. Your subscription not only helps the show, but it also supports Ground News as they make the media landscape more transparent. Again, visit nickcraig.com/ground. So Politico, you're familiar with the media outlet. Very left-leaning media outlet. Shockingly, yesterday, we learned that Politico had received over $8 million from the federal government. $8 million in terms of free money from the federal government. Here's a picture of the funding landscape from usaspending.gov. Politico being awarded this ridiculous sum of money. And this is causing some big time issues over at the media, we'll put that in air quotes, organization. Benny Thompson's got the tweet, and he indicates that Politico sent this email to employees yesterday. Dear team, Golly and I want to address this morning's payroll issue directly. Due to what we believe to be a technical error, employees did not receive paychecks as scheduled. We understand the urgency of this matter and sincerely apologize for the inconvenience. Our team is working diligently with our system vendors and the bank to identify the root cause and implement a solution as quick as possible. We'll keep you up to date as we learn more and work to resolve this problem. Politico is not a friendly, fair, unbiased news organization. They are incredibly left-wing. They have done nothing more than they continue to attack Donald Trump and Republicans and Elon Musk. They've done it for years now, going back almost a decade at this point, to when Trump came down the elevator in 2015. So here are the details of the story. The White House said yesterday that it was canceling Politico subscriptions that the U.S. Agency for International Development, aka USAID, had purchased with millions of taxpayer dollars. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said during the press briefing, "I can confirm more than 8 million taxpayer dollars have gone to essentially subsidizing subscriptions to Politico on the taxpayers' dime." The announcement came after Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency uncovered that Politico was paid $8.2 million in government subsidies. $8.2 million. And the press secretary was asked about this yesterday during the press briefing, as you can imagine, and this was her response. Take a listen.
As far as USAID funding as well, does the president have any comment on that?
So upon coming out here to the briefing room, I was made aware of the funding from USAID to media outlets, including Politico, who I know has a seat in this room. And I can confirm that the more than 8 million taxpayer dollars that have gone to essentially subsidizing subscriptions to Politico on the American taxpayer's dime will no longer be happening. The DOGE team is working on canceling those payments now. Again, this is a whole of government effort to ensure that we are going line by line when it comes to the federal government's books. And this president and his team are making decisions across the board on, do these receipts serve the interests of the American people? Is this a good use of the American taxpayers' money? If it is not, that funding will no longer be sent abroad, and American taxpayers will see significant savings because of that effort.
There you go. And so the question for you this morning, do you believe it is pertinent for the United States government, through your and my taxpayer dollars, to subsidize Politico? And I think the answer to that is pretty clear. It's, of course, absolutely not. There is no reason for something like that to be taking place. There is no justification for the federal government to be spending $8 million on subscriptions to media outlets like Politico. I can't wrap my head around how something like that is even taking place. It's completely unconscionable. Yet, that's actually what's happening. That's actually what's going on. Millions of dollars from USAID. And meanwhile, what kind of content was Politico producing? What kind of content was that organization putting forward? Well, very left-leaning news. I mean, just take a look at their homepage. Top story: Musk aims to hobble federal workers ahead of buyout deadline. Inside Elon Musk / Jim Jordan's mind meld shaking up Capitol Hill. The downside to purging disloyal government workers. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. California farmers still love Trump even after he dumped their water. EPA funds still frozen despite agency memo. Musk brash bid to slash workforce hits the Intel. I mean, every story on this front page is about how awful Donald Trump, how awful Elon Musk, and how awful the Republicans are. Why the hell should the taxpayers be funding any of this? If Politico wants to go and write these stories, I have no issue with it. I have zero issue with Politico covering these stories in the way that they do. If that's the news that they want to cover, fine, no issue. I have a major issue when I find out that this media outlet is being subsidized to a very large extent, $8.2 million, by the U.S. taxpayer. That is completely unexcusable. And as you heard from the press secretary, that money is being cut off. They're not going to be receiving any more money. We saw there was a huge payroll issue with them yesterday. Is it because they didn't get an infusion of cash from USAID? They claim it was some sort of technical issue. Is that the case, or did they not have the money in the bank because the money from the federal government, the free money, ran out? The free money was not renewed. It's absurd. It's completely ridiculous. But this is exactly what's going on. So you ask yourself this question. Something I ask myself for very frequently. How are we in the situation that we are right now? How are we in the financial dire straits that we are right now? $36 trillion in debt. This is the example. This is just one, and in the grand scheme of things, one small example of how we're $36 trillion in debt. The United States government, through agencies like USAID, frivolously spend our taxpayer dollars on things that provide zero value to the U.S. taxpayer. There is nothing in the Constitution. There is nothing in the Bill of Rights that says that the United States government should be subsidizing news agencies like Politico. Now, you want to talk about public radio, NPR and PBS? That's a different story. Politico is a for-profit news outlet. They sell advertising. You can purchase ads on Politico. Why would the United States taxpayer be spending any amount of money on something like that? I mean, there's a whole page right on their website on how to advertise. Advertising rates and specs, 2025 digital specifications, 2025 newspaper specifications, advertising purchaser agreement. Have more questions? Email us or give us a phone call. So they're a for-profit business. Why are they being subsidized by the taxpayer? Well, because they do the bidding of the left. And agencies like USAID have been completely taken over and run exclusively by the left. So it makes sense that you would fund Politico to continue to push your narrative. It makes sense that you would fund Politico to continue to push your narrative. But now that the Trump team is actually digging into this, as you heard from Caroline Leavitt, we're going line by line, digging under the hood, looking under the hood. We're finding out that it was even worse than you could have possibly imagined, which seems hard to believe, but that's exactly what was going on. We'll continue this discussion on Politico. I had an interesting back and forth exchange last night with a user on X, and I found some interesting details on that. Want to remind you to check out the show on Rumble, not only where we stream live each and every weekday morning at 7 o'clock, but you can also watch the show after the fact at rumble.com/The Nick Craig Show. That's rumble.com/The Nick Craig Show. We'll continue this discussion on Politico Plus. The FCC is launching a probe into George Soros-backed radio stations that revealed live locations of undercover ICE agents. We'll have those details coming up as well. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this Thursday morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. You can listen to the show 24/7 by checking out our podcast. It's called The Nick Craig Show. It is available wherever you get your shows. You can listen to it 24/7 on your own time and listen on your computer by visiting nickcraig.com. So we're talking about USAID, federal funding. The left is in a complete and total free fall because all of their little pet agencies and projects are getting called out and really having their income streams completely slashed, which is a huge, huge issue. Once they, as I mentioned, once they lose their income stream, once they lose their free money, a lot of these groups will seemingly cease to exist. Because there's no way for them to generate the kind of money that they need to continue their left-wing operations. Never should it have been the place of the U.S. government to fund these things in the first place, and I'm glad it's being called out now. So yesterday, last night, I'm getting ready for the show, the two shows this morning, just hanging around on social media, checking, seeing, following what's going on. And I got a post, somebody replied to a post of mine and said, hey, you know, the Trump administration, they made those comments about these operations that are being funded, this transgender opera in Colombia. Well, it turns out that was total BS spread by the Trump administration. And I'm a curious person. If I'm going to come on the air, go on the podcast and talk about something, I want to make sure I'm doing it accurately. And so, of course, I read through the tweet, looked at the link associated with it, and it brought me to this website called Notus, NOTUS.org. This is a media operation, a media outlet that is that is a part of a group called Albritton Journalism Institute, A-L-L-B-R-I-T-T-O-N, or Albritton, I'm not sure, Journalism Institute, A-J-I. And so the story reads as follows. I want to read through at least a little bit of it. The Trump administration is targeting, quote, waste at USAID, end quote. At least one example wasn't USAID. The transgender opera that the White House is using as a beacon for wasteful spending at USAID wasn't funded by USAID at all. And I went, oh, wow, okay, this could be an issue here. So I started reading through the story, which it seems like I've got to pull back up in a new browser this morning. I started reading through the story, and it was very interesting because it claims that this was not being funded by USAID at all. And it reads as follows. While the Trump administration wanted to call attention to wasteful spending at the U.S. Agency for International Development on Monday, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt signaled out a $47,000 line item for, quote, transgender opera in Colombia. The only problem? USAID didn't fund that production. The opera that Leavitt pointed to was instead funded through the Department of State in 2021. The Universidad de Los Andes in Botega received $25,000 under a State Department public diplomacy program allocated for, quote, expanding and strengthening the relationship between the people and the government of the United States and citizens of the rest of the world. So, in an attempt to play gotcha, this article is published on February 5th, yesterday morning at 5 a.m., and says USAID wasn't funding transgender operas in Colombia. It was the State Department. How is that a gotcha? Do you believe it's appropriate for the U.S. State Department to be spending $25,000 funding this? How is this a gotcha? The remaining $22,000 for the production also wasn't funded by the federal government. Those inconvenient facts haven't stopped Republicans from running with the claim after Leavitt highlighted fraud, waste, and abuse at USAID by, in part, singling out the opera. Asked about the apparent mistake, White House Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly suggested it was immaterial, saying, quote, President Trump is delivering on his promise to cut wasteful spending across federal agencies. Notice is totally missing the point. Taxpayers don't want to fund transgender operas in Colombia. But a former USAID official countered the mix-up and said it was relevant, suggesting it was indicative of the haphazard way in which the administration is gutting the agency. This former USAID official told Notice, quote, from day one, this administration has demonstrated that they were more focused on blowing up an agency than actually understanding what it is and what it does. The official said from their perspective, the error wasn't incompetence on part of the administration. It was a direct attack on USAID. The official said, quote, if this wasn't intentional, then they wouldn't have taken down the USAID website and social media accounts to hide what is true information about the impact of USAID. If they were confident in the facts they were digging up, then they wouldn't have had to hide all of this information about what USAID is and what it does. So the gotcha here is that the transgender opera in Colombia, or transgender in Colombia, was not funded by USAID. It was funded by the State Department. And as you heard from the Deputy White House Press Secretary, Anna Kelly, it just goes to show you how the left continues to miss the issue at hand, how they continue to be out of touch with the American people, continue to be out of touch with the American voter. Why is that being funded at all? Whether it's USAID, the State Department, it's irrelevant. It's wasteful government spending on stupid nonsense like a transgender opera in a foreign country. What am I missing here? What am I failing to wrap my head around? in regards to this. Because this so-called news outlet, Notice, seems to think that, oh, huh, we got Trump now. We got the Republicans now. They're running around with this lie that the federal government spent $47,000 on a transgender opera. And in the first two paragraphs of their report, and they say, wasn't funded by USA. It was funded by the State Department. Guys, you're missing the mark. The issue is that the money is being spent. So I got to thinking, and I started doing some research last night. Again, this media outlet, Notus, N-O-T-U-S. I started doing some digging. Who is this group? What are they stand for? And it looks like they're relatively new, only spun up back in 2023, so a little over a year old. So I got to Googling, I got to doing some research, and I stumbled across this article over at Semaphore. May the 1st, 2023. Politico's founder is spending $20 million to train aspiring journalists. Okay. What's the news here? The founder of Politico is launching a new nonprofit news organization that promises to help jumpstart the careers of the next generation of Washington journalists. Politico founder and publisher Robert Alberin had already committed $20 million to launch the Alberin Journalism Institute, a nonprofit education organization that says it will train aspiring reporters from different backgrounds who have different views to create, quote, fact-based nonpartisan journalism on government and politics. So, we just learned that Politico received $8.2 million from USAID, the federal government, through your and my taxpayer dollars. Then this AJI Institute and their news arm, Notice, writes an article about how this is not true, this is not happening, this is fake news from the Trump administration. So the guy that founded and runs Politico, receiving $8.2 million from the federal government, starts this nonpartisan alleged news organization that is writing articles, of which the one that we just read, claiming that the Trump administration is targeting waste, except their examples are not accurate. Folks, this is the flow of money that we're talking about. And if you don't dig into this stuff, you never find out. This is the kind of hack reporting and hack journalism that groups like Politico want to run. And it's blatantly obvious. You just go to the homepage of this website, and there's nothing non-bias about this at all. The top story, can the courts stop Trump? It's absurd. Trump's allies try to spin his expansionist obsession. Haitian migrants fear they're next in Trump's immigration crackdowns. Democrats have one big piece of leverage, their vote to avoid a shutdown. And it just goes on and on and on. Everything on this website is dripping with left-wing propaganda. I'm just going to keep reading the headlines. Republicans in Congress aren't exactly taking Trump seriously or literally on owning Gaza. Lawmakers barely know what to make of the administration's threat to send migrants to foreign prisons. How Elon Musk co-opted an Obama legacy project and weaponized it. The White House says Trump hasn't committed to sending troops to Gaza, but won't rule it out. There's one story on here. The Senate confirmed Scott Turner as housing secretary 19 hours ago. That's actually a news story. Everything else is just dripping with left-wing propaganda. The gloves are off. The Republican plan to attack abortion now that Trump is in office. What the hell is this? I mean, I just read the story from May of 2023 about the mission statement of this group. Maybe I'll read it for you again. The whole point of funding this organization is to create, quote, fact-based nonpartisan journalism on government and politics that is both empathetic and brutally honest. That's what you would describe as fact-based nonpartisan journalism? The whole front page of the website is about how terrible Trump and the Republicans are. It just keeps going and going and going and going. All of these groups are connected. And again, how do all of these entities have the funding and have the money that they do? With groups like USAID that fund Politico at the tune of over $8.2 million. It is absurd and it is beyond ridiculous. And it's being called out, it's being cut out, and the left is in complete and total panic. Because their ability to get money from the federal government to smear Republicans is over. At least in large part, it appears. It's over with. They've never been in this position before. They've never liked Trump. That's nothing new. But now that Trump is going for their pocketbooks, going for their bank accounts in regards to funding, it's a scary time to be in left-wing politics, especially if you're one of these entities that is receiving free money from the federal government, because it's gone. It's over with. The spigot is being turned off. The reign of Politico receiving millions of dollars from the taxpayer dole to smear Republicans and smear Trump is over with. And how they handle it, I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun to watch. It really is a lot of fun to watch. So we'll see how much more. It seems like day by day we're learning more nonsense that was being funded by USAID and other groups within the federal government. And I look forward to the Trump administration, Caroline Leavitt, and other folks continuing to call this stuff out because it needs to. We are at a pivotal fork in the road in regards to the future of our country. We're $36 trillion in debt. And if we don't get this spending, if we don't get this money under control, we are setting up the future generations for abysmal failure. We are borrowing money against them. We are spending like drunken sailors. We are pissing money away on nonsense like subscriptions to Politico. It's absurd. And it's over with. It's over with. And I love every second of it. We'll keep an eye on that. I want to remind you, if you believe that you are getting some value from the program and want to get some bonus goodies, including daily show notes and more, head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. Supporting this independent media venture. I can tell you squarely and sincerely that I'm not receiving any money from USAID, the State Department, or any other federal entity to produce the program. Your support, I've got a lot of folks coming on board for that. It is greatly appreciated over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. So in rounding out the show this morning, the FCC commissioner, Brandon Carr, we talked about him earlier this week. He has put into serious question how groups like NPR and PBS, National Panhandler Radio, and the public broadcasting system, how they're operating in regards to their underwriting. Now, because they are nonprofits and because they are receiving money from the federal government, they can't do regular commercials. They can't run regular advertising. They need to do things in a way in which they call it corporate underwriting. So instead of running a regular commercial like you'd see on traditional broadcast television, they skirt around this rule and they call it underwriting. And the FCC commissioner says we need to look into this, because there's a possibility that these entities are being a little loose and fast with the rules in regards to underwriting, corporate underwriting. So Brandon Carr's on a tear, which is great. And I've got this story for you this morning over at foxnews.com. The FCC launches a probe into Soros-backed radio stations that revealed the live location of undercover ICE agents. This could be a very, very serious problem. Federal Communication Chairman Brendan Carr has opened an investigation into radio stations backed by left-wing billionaire George Soros that was broadcasting live locations of undercover immigration and customs enforcement agents. A group backed by Soros purchased a stake in more than 200 Odyssey radio stations across America last year, Among them is San Francisco-based KCBS, which operates at 7:40 a.m. in San Francisco. And they're under fire this morning for revealing live location of undercover ICE vehicles and agents that were conducting deportation operations in the San Jose area. The FCC Enforcement Bureau has already sent a formal letter of inquiry to the radio station as part of the FCC investigation. The Enforcement Bureau proceeding is inquiring whether the radio stations, which, by the way, is licensed to operate by the FCC, is violating the terms of their FCC license, which requires them to operate in the, quote, public interest. The formal Enforcement Bureau letter notes that ICE agents were operating at the time in that area, known for violent gang activity. Carr told Fox News Digital, "I want to express my thanks and appreciation to DHS and ICE agents. These law enforcement professionals are honorably serving this country and carrying out vital missions. Their safety is paramount. The FCC will hold broadcasters accountable for complying with their public interest obligation." Odyssey did not immediately respond to a request for comment. No surprise there at all. And it goes back to a situation that happened on January the 26th on an edition of KCBS Radio Weekend News, where the reporter there revealed specific information about undercover ICE agents who were carrying out those operations in the San Jose area. The host told its listeners, quote, "The Santa Clara County Rapid Response Network, which is a community defense projecting system for immigrant communities against deportation threats, first report on the activity on its platform." The host of the show then revealed the specific make, color, and model of several unmarked vehicles used in the operation. The station also revealed the exact location of several ICE agents working in the area. This is insane. So the federal government is cracking down on individuals that are illegally in the country. The federal government, in this case, agents of ICE and DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, are doing their job, doing what they are directed to do by the government. And you've got left-wing media outlets like KCBS, 7:40 a.m. in San Francisco, that are putting these individuals in grave danger by broadcasting their location and what their cars look like. And again, I will note, because KCBS is a operated radio station, their license is in fact granted by the FCC. You can't just broadcast on the radio willy-nilly in the United States. You need to have a license that is procured and under the guise and under the umbrella of the FCC. That's why TV station and radio stations have call signs that you're familiar with. Those are licensed, those are the call signs are given by the FCC to the stations for them to operate on the specific frequency and signal that they do. That's how the radio licensing system works in the country. And so you've got radio stations, which are operating under the discretion of the federal government, because that's, again, how they get their, that's how they are able to broadcast it all, giving out critical information about federal government operations that are going on. And there's got to be consequences for this stuff. I mean, that when the rubber meets the road on this, there needs to be consequences. Can you imagine if an agent was injured or God forbid, killed as a result of this information broadcast? Could you imagine something like that happening? I can. You're telling individuals that, by the way, back on January 26th, ICE was picking up known dangerous criminals. You can absolutely see a situation where somebody retaliates against ICE, retaliates against DHS because they have information as to what cars they're driving and where exactly they are right now. There has got to be consequences for these actions. And not only should there be consequences, the Constitution does not allow you to interfere with things that are being done by federal agents. I mean, it is illegal to do that. It is completely illegal to do that. Some could even argue you're harboring that illegal activity by providing that information. But because KCBS, owned by Odyssey, a majority owner of that now is George Soros, the left-wing puppet master with all of his billions of dollars in hedge fund money that he funds all of these outlets and operations with, they thought that it was a good idea to broadcast the information about these individuals' locations, putting sworn law enforcement officers in grave danger of dangerous criminals, I'll note. So the FCC commissioner is calling them out. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. I think it is an absolutely fantastic thing for the FCC commissioner to be calling out. He's calling out NPR. He's calling out PBS. He's calling out for-profit broadcast entities that are not operating in the way in which they should with their government-issued licenses. I think it's fantastic. And so we'll see, now that the FCC has launched this probe, how things will change and what will happen here. You know, I mentioned this last year on the radio show. You had you had George Soros that should not have been able to go forward with the purchase of these stations in the first place. The FCC under the Biden administration did a shotgun sale to George Soros, approving his purchase, which they should not have because it was against the FCC's own regulations. And now he's in charge and has a large stake in 200 radio stations, many of them talk stations across the country. I very much look forward to seeing more from Brandon Carr. I think he's done an absolutely phenomenal job. He was great. He was on the FCC before he was not the commissioner, but he was always rallying and always speaking up against some of the left-wing actions that were taking place under the previous administration. He called that stuff out then, and now he's in a position of power to actually do something about it. And again, he's launching an investigation into broadcasting the live location of undercover ICE agents. Despicable. But, you know, the left will claim, oh, we've got to protect these, they don't call them illegals, undocumented individuals. We've got to protect these undocumented individuals. Even though they're dangerous criminals with criminal rap sheets from the countries in which they came, we've got to protect these individuals because we're liberals. We're bleeding heart liberals. This is how we operate. Again, just another example. I feel like the recurring theme over these next couple of weeks and months is going to be how out of touch, how completely out of touch the left is with regular everyday people. I feel like I'm seeing that there is no inward reflection that is taking place in any way, shape, or form. And I just feel like this is going to continue, in which the left is going to continue to stake their flag in the ground. They're going to bury their heels into the sand on this. And they're going to just continue, which, by the way, I'm fine with, because it will continue to prove it will continue to cause the divide between the regular American public and the left-wing propaganda that you're familiar with from the left. It will absolutely continue that divide. And so we'll just have to wait and see what they do. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, all of these individuals that the left is now trying to demagogue, it's just not going to work. The American people are not in favor of this out-of-control nonsense that they're seeing, that is being exposed as we speak. It's pretty remarkable. I don't know that it's necessarily surprising, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I've got a cool opportunity coming up tomorrow morning. I'm going to be heading up to Greensboro to take part in an education panel that's taking place through the John Locke Foundation. So that is going to have us off the air tomorrow morning. We will not have a show for you tomorrow. For the folks that are subscribed to the Patreon, I'll be putting a little write-up with some pictures on the event in Greensboro this weekend. It's the yearly annual John Locke Foundation Policy Summit. I'm looking forward to discussing education funding and school choice with a group of experts on that topic. That'll be taking place in Greensboro tomorrow morning, so that'll have us off the air. However, we will be back Monday morning with the latest. In the meantime, don't forget you can give me a follow over on X at Nicholas M. Craig to keep up to date with breaking news outside of the program. Thank you so much for joining us for a Thursday edition of the Nick Craig Show. We are back with you Monday morning live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and of course 24/7 via podcast.